something that we can draw from the living Word of God. And I wrote some things here today, not necessarily to entertain you, but just to raise awareness and magnify God. And it's this, that Jesus is the total sum and substance of truth. He didn't just tell the truth, he was the truth. Now, there were times in the patriarch David's life where he spoke and he told the truth. There were times that even King Saul spoke and he told the truth. There were times that Moses spoke and he told the truth. There were times that you and I have spoken and we've told the truth as much as we were able to, as much as, you know, our knowledge would allow. We told the truth. But not everyone that tells the truth can say, I am the truth. Only Jesus could say, I am the truth. Amen. So in the Greek, it is aletheia. If I'm pronouncing that right, it's A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. I'm sure you want to pin that down. He is the absolute personification of truth. He is the epitome of truth, which is he is the real. He is the genuine. He is sincere. He is pure. Someone say he is the truth. Amen. He is opposite to what is fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, and imperfect. He is the truth in every sense. Say that with me. Say, he is the truth in every sense. Amen. He has true power, true love, true knowledge, true wisdom, true character, true excellence, true strength, true morality, true purity, true riches. He is truly sovereign. He is truly unfailing. He is truly faultless. He is truly without deceit. He is truly without pretense. He is truly good. Amen. He is truly meek. He is truly caring. He is truly sound. He is truly righteous. He is truly honest. He is truly holy. He's a true king. He's a true prophet. He's a true high priest. He's a true friend. He's a true apostle. He's a true everlasting Father. He's the true Prince of Peace. He's the true Son of God. Hallelujah. He's the true bread of life. He's the true intercessor. He's the true mediator. He's the true vine. He's the true and living water. He's the true Christ. He's the true Savior. He's the true life. And he's truly the only one of his kind. And he's worthy to be praised. So let's give the Lord some true praise. Hallelujah. Based on who he is. Praise God. He is the truth. He is the absolute truth. Amen. And he is the truth that we need to look to. Amen. There are many people around us that they do not know the truth to the extent that we know the truth. Now, I'm not saying that we know all that there is to truth, but we have at least the seed of truth. And all of the qualities are in the seed. And so one of the reasons why we are still here is because God wants this truth, amen, to be perpetuated to every generation. Someone say, to every generation. And I know that you and I, we desire to help our children and our offspring, amen, our sons and our daughters and those that we teach, those that we mentor, those that God has put us before to minister to, we want them to know the truth, don't we? Amen. Not just doctrinal truth, but the person of truth. I realize that we can fill our brain full of doctrinal truth, but what has the truth done for you? You see, the world not only needs to hear the truth, the word of truth, they need to be able to see the life of truth. And the only way they can see the life of truth is by us being filled and led by the Spirit of truth. Does that make sense? So they need to hear the word of truth, and they need to see the life of truth. In other words, if you and I claim to know the truth, believe the truth, love the truth, let's ask ourselves another question. Are we living a life that reflects and expresses the truth before the world? Does that make sense? He says, you're the light of the world. Amen. And we understand that light has the ability to bring illumination, to bring exposure, to help people see what they otherwise could not see. And so Jesus Christ, being the truth, amen, he is the way, the truth, the life, he was the way that we could see the truth. Amen. And if we could find the truth, we could walk and have life, and that more abundantly. And I count myself so blessed, amen, to being at a certain place at a certain time with a certain couple come to my house and talk to me about this great truth. Amen. I remember January 4th, 1993, in the evening time. It was very cold outside in that water baptism. Very, very cold. But I remember this illumination. I remember that moment where my eyes really were opened and I saw things that I had never saw before. I'd been studying the Bible for about a year, been praying, fasting, seeking God, even living a repented life. I stopped smoking, stopped drinking, stopped cussing, didn't listen to country music or rock music, only listened to what I called Christian music. Amen. And I even had a little no smoking sign in my car. Now, this was before I received the Holy Ghost. But there was a time where some friends come over and spent about 5 minutes teaching me a little simple Bible study. Amen. And God's presence was there. And my eyes were open. It's kind of like Paul, those scales finally came off. Amen. Where he was able to truly see and have knowledge of the identity of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Aren't you glad for the revelation? Amen. The knowledge of who Jesus is. I believe that this is the foundation, amen, of all knowledge. I believe this is the foundation of all knowledge. Amen. Praise God. And all truth. So I'm so thankful that we have this knowledge. And listen, this knowledge is still growing. Because you don't just read the Bible or read a few verses or go to church a few times and you know it all. But I think that, you know, Brother Armin, you'd agree. And I hope most of us would agree that there are depths to knowledge. There are depths to knowledge. How many's read a verse and then you go back later and read it again, you get something else out of it? Years later, you read it again, you get something else out of it. And then the preacher gets up and preaches from that text, and then you get more out of it. It's like, wow. You know, it's amazing the depths to the knowledge of God. Let's move down just a little bit here. Let's see. We dealt with Deuteronomy. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. There's an exhortation, there's an admonition given to us, given to the church from Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I realize that this does not come naturally. In other words, it's not the human nature, it's not instinctive in our human nature, because our human nature just wants to preserve ourselves. We want to do everything that takes care of ourselves, and I can be honest with you and say that you know, in my humanity, I don't have the care and the love and all of the qualities that I need to do all of the will of God, reaching the world. But through the Spirit of God, amen. Through the Spirit of God, I now have access to all of the qualities and the virtues, the zeal, the passion, the desire, the love, the peace, the joy, and all of the things, amen, I need to fulfill God's will, to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable in the eyes of God. But this exhortation is given to us. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, everybody say first of all. Amen. 20-something years later, I'm still trying to work at complying with and obeying this these verses of Scripture. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Everybody say, for all men. All men. Then he goes on to say, for kings and for all that are in authority. You know, I feel that if I'm just speaking in general, not necessarily about us in particular, but, you know, I hear and I've read and I've seen, you know, video footage where, you know, people are rioting and people are, you know, holding up their signs and they're anti-this and they're anti-that. And really, all it does is just stir up a lot of trouble. And basically what they're doing is they're taking matters into their own hands. And the results are not good. Results are not good. But if we would do it God's way, then we would receive the benefits from God. And he says here, for we pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? So that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, listen, who will have all men to be saved. Everybody say all men. That means friends and foes, you know, relatives, those you like, those you dislike. It's the will of God that all men are to be saved, and to also, the Bible says, not just saved, but, what does it say? And to come unto the knowledge of, everybody say, the truth. To come unto the knowledge of the truth. Because it's knowing truth that really liberates you and makes you free. It's not just, you know, I just go to a church, but it's, have you heard the truth? Do you believe the truth? Do you know the truth enough to walk in it? Because knowing implies relationship. And I realize that there are ways that we know. There are ways that we know things in this world. I know through smell, I know through taste, I know through touch, I know through seeing, I know through smell, I know through hearing. These are the ways that we know. I know steak is good, not because I've seen it, but because I've tasted it. And how many knows the Lord is good? Not because you've seen him, but because I've tasted him. Amen. I've tasted. I know for myself that the Lord is good. I've experienced his goodness in my own personal life. Amen. I praise the Lord. Is this okay so far? I know it's pretty basic, pretty elementary, but I want to just share a little bit more here today. All right, let's turn very, very quickly to, I'm not going to read the 2 Timothy. You know, I'm needing prayer. You know why? Because I put all these notes in this. It's not really in the best order. I've actually submitted my notes to an individual to try to help me out, to put them in a better order where it really flow, you know, like you're reading a book and it's chapter after chapter and just kind of flows and it builds. And at the end, you're like, wow, but my notes don't always pan out that way, so I have to kind of scroll up and down, turn the pages, flip back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, just two or three people. Well, all right, let's look at 3 John. It's amazing. 3 John chapter number 1. 3 John chapter number 1. We'll start reading at verse number 1. Just say praise God if you're on your way. Amen. 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." He said, "I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." Amen. Praise God. "Even as thou walkest in the truth." And, you know, walk means to progress. It means to conduct oneself. So he is rejoicing because there is a testimony that truth is truly in these folks. How do you know? Because they were walking in truth. They were walking in this truth. They were progressing. They were conducting their lives, amen, in alignment with this truth. They were representing this truth. They were expressing this truth. Now listen, listen. Not just because they could quote all the verses. Now they were quoting Scripture, but they took it a step further. They were living Scripture. They were living Scripture. They were Scripture. They were, what does the verse say? They were epistles that were read of men. Their life was an open book. And when people looked at them, they saw Jesus Christ, who is the truth. So when you walk in truth, you are walking in Jesus Christ. And when they look at you, they don't see your pedigree and your genealogy, but they see Jesus Christ in and through your life, your conduct, your actions, your behavior. So he's not just a good speaker, or he's not just eloquent, he's not just a theologian, but he actually walks in truth, and he demonstrates truth. He demonstrates the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. He demonstrates the character, amen, that Jesus Christ displayed himself. Because, amen, Jesus was the truth. And then he concludes by saying, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, not necessarily biological, but spiritual children, everybody say, walk in truth. Can we take a moment, just lift our hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. I was praying even today, God, to walk right, to be right, to live right, to be a true representative of truth, the truth. To be a true representative of the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because God was able to manifest himself through flesh. Amen. The Word, which was in the beginning with God and was God, that Word became flesh. And you and I consist of flesh. Amen. The Lord doesn't want to remain as the invisible man. He wants to be known through the humanity of his body. God wants to manifest himself to the 21st century through the flesh of the body of Christ. Amen. So that when they see us, they see him. Hallelujah. And the works that we do not of ourselves, but we do of him. It is from him. Praise God. Someone say, in him, through him, we live and we move and we have our being. Praise the Lord. To walk in truth, to live in truth, to represent the truth in the day in which we live. Does that make sense? All right. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 22 and verse 23 says, seeing that you have purified your souls, I'm at 1 Peter, verse 22 and 23. Thank you, sister. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Isn't that amazing? How he ties that message of love with truth. Praise God. So we're getting somewhere. You purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. I want that word to live and abide with me, in me. Amen. So that the life that I live, amen, is a life that truly represents the life of Jesus Christ. How's that going to be possible? I've got to be crucified with Christ. Not my spirit crucified, but the things, amen, in me that contradict the will of God and the nature of God and what God desires to do and his will. Amen. I've got to have those things crucified. Someone say, not just Sunday, but every day. There's some things that just must be nailed down so that the life I live, amen, is a life that pleases and honors and reflects the very nature of God. Someone say, he's truth. Amen. And I need it. And this world needs it. And our children need it. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know what he is all about. They need to know the character of God. They need to be able to behold the church and see the very character and the qualities. Amen. The pureness, the goodness, the love, the gentleness, the temperance, the meekness, the faithfulness. They need to be able to see Jesus Christ. Amen. He's not just someone that lived in years past. He is alive forevermore. Amen. How do you know he's alive? Because I see him in the church. I see him in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I see truth in the church. Amen. I don't just hear a good message. Amen. I see truth. I hear truth. I experience truth. Amen. And by the seed, by the pure seed, the word of God, I'm going to perpetuate this truth. Amen. To my generation and hopefully the generation that is to come. Someone say, praise the Lord. Amen. Purified your souls in obeying the truth. So it's not just enough to hear a good sermon, shout a little bit, go home, say, man, that was some good stuff, and then go about doing whatever you want to do. No, we must get to a place in life where we apply, we absorb, that word becomes a part of who we are and the life that we live. Hallelujah. Amen. I want it to be in me. I want it to be in me. Someone say, I've got to have it in me. Hallelujah. I've got to absorb this truth. Amen. So that when I transmit, when I project, when I perpetuate words, actions, behavior, it is a true representation of Jesus Christ. I mentioned Sunday, what kind of Christ are you giving to your world? Are you giving a Christ that's tainted, that's defiled? Are you, you know, and I'm looking at myself, am I giving truth a bad name? Is truth evil spoken of because of my life? When I claim, you know, Jesus Christ and he's my Lord and he's my Savior we walk together and I have the yoke of Christ. It's one thing when we talk that, but what is our life conveying to the people around us? What am I conveying to my children? What am I conveying to my fellow employee? What am I conveying? What am I transmitting to the people in my neighborhood? Amen. Because they're going to interpret Christ by the way that I live. That's just the inescapable reality, that the world that we live in, they're going to interpret Christ and Christianity by the way that we live, by our conduct, by our actions and our attitude. That is how they're going to interpret Christ. And it's sad that there is a lot of misinterpretation, misconception, misunderstanding, even misrepresentation. And when the Lord spoke that to me a few years ago, it really... it pricked my heart, and it dealt with me so deeply. And so that's one reason why I'm very, very careful. You know, what I do, how I behave, decisions that I make, where I go, how I treat people, because I don't want to misrepresent truth. Amen. I don't want the truth to be evil spoken of because of my misconduct. Amen. That's a serious offense. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want someone, you know, on the outside to look at me or to look at the church and to look at the Christians and say, oh, they're just a bunch of, you know, backbiters, or they're a bunch of gossipers, talebearers, easily offended, soft skin. No, I want the people of this world to be able to look at the church and say, wow, that's a powerful church. That's a church full of the love of God. That's a church that is generous. That's a church that is compassionate. Amen. That's a church that is temperate. Amen. That is a church of self-control. That is a church of good balance. Hallelujah. That's a merciful church. That's a kind church. Amen. And I believe when the world says that, the truth is spoken well of. and God is glorified. Hallelujah. Because the works that are being displayed and portrayed in the church represent the truth that He is. Praise God. Shall we praise Him together? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise God. Three things: possessing the truth, portraying the truth, perpetuating truth to the generation that we live. I need help every day. Amen. When you read the gospel, when you obey the gospel, you're reading truth and you're obeying truth. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, 5, and I've got to hurry along. Colossians 1, 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. Everybody say, it's really good news. It's good news that you and I can be delivered from bondage, delivered from the dominion of sin, amen, delivered from ignorance, hallelujah, that we can have our eyes open, that we get to see the Lord, hallelujah, that we get to have proper spiritual perception of who He is and what His will is and what He is like, amen, and what He is trying to accomplish in the world, hallelujah, what a privilege, amen, and yet a great responsibility that you and I have to bear this name before this world, before this generation, and be involved in the most powerful ministry, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Truth has come into this world. Amen. Grace and truth has come into this world to reconcile man, all man, your neighbors. Hallelujah. Those you get along with and those you don't. Amen. God's trying to bring them close to Him, bring them back into that place so that there is true fellowship and communion and relationship. Amen. Someone say, that's truth. That's truth. When you share with people, you know, you sit down in the living room with someone, you just sit down, you're in their living room, and you know, you're having your diet Coke or whatever, and you're just having a little conversation, and then all of a sudden you start talking about the woman at the well, and she asked the Lord, Lord, give me this water that I thirst not again. And you begin to talk to them about the water, just in this analogy, and you describe to them that, you know, there is something in man. There's a void in man. There is a true thirst. There's a true yearning in man. Amen. And it seems like we go all over the place and we do this and we do that and we get involved in relationships and we're trying to satisfy what is yearning, what is in our soul, that void, and we don't know how to fill it. And you just, basically, what are you doing is you're just making the gospel relatable. Someone say, the gospel is truth. Amen. You tell people, God has something for you. God wants you to know Him. Amen. He wants to be known by you. He doesn't want to be a mystery to you. Amen. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. He's made the way, are prepared the way He has made all things possible for us. Hallelujah. He's made salvation available to each and every one of us. And you start speaking these things, you're conveying truth. You're conveying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone say, it is good news. Amen. Because if you don't give them the good news, you know, why would they even move to this thing we call repentance if they don't know the gospel? If they don't know why Jesus came, if they don't know why He died on a cross, why He was buried and resurrected on the third day and ascended up on high, if they don't know these things, then you know, they're thinking, well, why should I repent? Because they're really not going to truly repent, that's just my opinion, if there's no seed of truth in there, the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They've got to hear the gospel. He didn't say, you know, you just go up to a perfect stranger and you say, hey, you just need to repent of your sins. And they're like, okay, what's repentance? And who do I confess to? Who is this God? You know, because in the gospel of Jesus Christ is the revelation of who he is. Does that make sense? In the gospel is the revelation of his identity, of his person. And if you read especially the book of John, a lot of writings that deal with who he is. And so if they don't know who he is, they don't even know who they're talking to when they're praying. They don't even know who they're repenting to, supposedly. So we need to share this information, because when you share this information, you are sharing truth with them. Amen. It is truth that sets us free, or that makes us free. Amen. I realize that the church has a multifaceted role and responsibility in our society. Let's all stand. And I hope this is not just, you know, repeat, but I hope there's something, some content, some substance here that we're able to gather and absorb. But like as Christ was in his day, we are here in Christ's stead, and we are now the means, the channel, the vehicle whereby the everlasting Father can be expressed. My alarm's going off. I got to pick up my buddy for church. I'm so sorry. Look at this. All right. Someone remind me to go pick up Glenn in a few minutes. But we, like Christ, we are the channel. We are the vehicle whereby the everlasting Father, the God of glory, the God who not just loves, but the God who is love, can be expressed to this world. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here in Christ's stead. We are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And God is expressing himself. God is reaching through the church to this world. Amen. To communicate the truth of who he is and what he desires to accomplish. Amen. Let's lift our hands to him today. Praise God. I want the world to know that he is alive, and that he is real, and that he can be touched, and that he can be felt, that he can be experienced, that he can forgive their sin, that he can wash away all of the past. Hallelujah. That he can heal their wounded spirit, that he can heal their broken heart, that he can give them hope. Hallelujah. That is not, amen, never to be ashamed of. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has truth to share to this generation, to every generation, that he's alive, that he loves, that he is reaching, that he cares. Hallelujah. That he is the way, that he is the truth, that he is the life, that he can forgive sin, he can heal sickness, he can raise the dead. Hallelujah. Our life needs to become, amen, a true witness of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's not just a character in a book, but he's alive, and he's alive in the church. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Say this with me. Say, he's alive. Amen. I don't need to suffocate him. I don't need to suppress him. I don't need to resist him. I don't need to hold him back. But I need to turn him loose. I need to turn him loose. I need to take the handcuffs off of him, so to speak. Hallelujah. I need to take the grave clothes off of him, so to speak, so that he can talk through me, so that he can move through me, so that he can reach through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I want God to be loosed into this generation and into this world. Amen. That they may behold his glory. God bless you. Thank you so much for being attentive. Amen. Someone scream, perpetuate the truth. Amen. You can refresh yourself. We've got, 7 or 8 minutes before our main service begins.
We serve an awesome God. While you're turning in the word of the Lord to Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13, we do want to make a couple of announcements. One